Welcome, Bruce. Thanks for taking time out of an incredibly busy book tour to speak with us.
Oh, my pleasure.
All right. Tell us about the journey that took you from writing about a dog who keeps on being reincarnated to a communicative bear with strange ties to the Civil War.
the journey sort of went like this. I had complete artistic freedom, which you rarely get in any endeavor anymore. Everybody's so worried about marketing, and it's so hard to get anything going. But when Dog's Purpose was in the pipeline, we were looking at the orders, and by we, I mean they, the publisher was looking at the orders, and they said, Dog's Purpose is going to be a bigger book than we first thought. And they called and wanted to talk to me about my next book. And I said, well, I have this idea. And I started to describe it, and they heard about two sentences and said, great, we'll buy it. So they didn't even really know what they were getting themselves into. I wrote a book that I was completely free to write, and I told a story that I've always wanted to tell, was sort of setting side by side a really profound, complex, and ultimately allegorical situation that affects a 13-year-old boy. And I wanted to explain that when you're 13 years old, what really matters to you is what's right in front of you. And use that as sort of a prism through which to regard all of us when we are affected by things really big and profound in the world. Do we pay attention to them, or do we pay attention to what's right in front of us? Are we more worried about what's for dinner tonight, or are we worried about spiritual or profound questions? And that's Emery's gift. I mean, it was my pleasure to be able to write the story that I've always wanted to tell.
Well, it's an amazing coming-of-age tale, and one of a father and a son who, after a terrible loss, begin to grow their relationship. Okay, why a Civil War connection for the bear?
You know, I get asked that question a lot, and it surprised me. And I think that's what happens to authors a lot, is that we'll write something and not really be cognizant of how it's going to resonate with our readers. So in Emery's Gift, there's several mentions of the Civil War, but what I have to say to that is that it's not as significant as you might think. It was really just necessary to get a few details down that then come all the way back and reconnect to the story in the epilogue. And if you remember, and I don't want to give it away, but if you remember, there's a reference to a book in the epilogue that explains a big part of the history that is mentioned throughout the tale that's involved in Emery's Gift.
Mm. Well, one thing I loved is that Charlie's aches and pains into growing into being a teenager, they're so real. Is there a lot of you in Charlie?
Yeah, there really is. I wanted to write in Emery's Gift. There's a story of a boy that I wanted to write where, unlike most coming of age stories that just don't feel real to me, I wanted to write about what it really felt like to me to be 13 years old. That there is, of course, tons of things, literature out there about coming of age sexually. Emery's Gift isn't about that. Emery's Gift picks up the tale of Charlie when he's still in that innocent stage that boys go through, where he's yearning for social connection, he's yearning for a girlfriend, but not necessarily because he's full of chemically fueled lust, but rather just because he's just pining for things. He's being affected by, certainly, the gathering storm of the hormonal cloud, but it hasn't yet really rained on him. And so I wanted to write about the other stuff, the jostling for position at that level of eighth grade, where boys are, at once they're friends, and then they're also fighting each other a little bit, and they're just trying to figure things out. It's really a scary time for everybody, I think. I think for boys, maybe more so than girls, but I don't know. I've never been a girl. As a boy, what I capture in Emery's Gift, which is the scary part of being a young teenager, that was really real for me, too.
Yeah, well, Okay, the book has a very strong message at the end, and many of the readers think it's a spiritual message. Do you want to talk about that? Did you have that message in your head when you began the book?
You know, it's an allegorical tale. If you think about that message and the messenger, you can see that I've drawn pretty strong parallels to another, let's just say, a historic messenger. And I wrote it from the aspect of you don't have to. You can be very devoted to the idea that the messenger was real, or you can be devoted to the idea that he was not. And you can find that in this book. I wrote an allegorical tale that isn't preachy. When you accept the idea that you can look at it from any way you want, because I wanted to tell that tale. I wanted to tell the tale of, well, this thing happens, and people either believe it happened or they don't, and that affects their lives. How they relate to that event affects their lives. And that's the story in Emery's Gift. It was really my pleasure to write it.
Hmm. Another best-selling book you had, A Dog's Purpose, is now being made into a film. Are you involved with that?
Yeah. We're talking about A Dog's Purpose, the movie, and DreamWorks hired me and also hired my wife, who is a screenwriter, to write the screenplay. And so we have sent that in, and they are doing whatever it is they do over there, where they are having meetings and discussing budgets and passing pieces of paper back and forth. But you know, we're just waiting anxiously to hear for the day when they start filming.
Well, how did you decide to write that book from the pooch's point of view?
Well, it goes all the way back to, as I was saying earlier, I used to live in Colorado, and I was on my mountain bike, and I met a dog in the mountains. He was behind a fence, so I couldn't really play with him, but I always stop and talk to the dog. Why not? I mean, it's a lot of fun. So I met a dog. I was talking to the dog, and the way the dog looked at me and interacted with me so reminded me of my very first dog, who was named Cammy, my dog when I was just 8 years old. And as I rode away, I thought to myself, what if that was Cammy? What if dogs are reborn and remember their lives, and he remembers me? And I thought, and what would that look like from the dog's perspective? And that is how A Dog's Purpose came to be. I started thinking about it from the dog's perspective, and it grew into a novel called A Dog's Purpose.
Well, I know that millions of people love that book, including me. All right, what's next? What book are you working on next?
Well, the good news, I guess, is that I've got a sequel to A Dog's Purpose coming out next May. It'll be called A Dog's Journey, and it'll be out in May of 2012. And then I've got another book that I'm working on right now that's got a code name. That means I haven't decided on a title.
Okay.
It's also dog-themed. Mm-hmm. I'm not planning to spend my entire career writing about dogs, but I love dogs, and people seem to expect dog books from me. That's probably what I'll write on next. I would just love to invite your listeners to come to our fan page if they're on Facebook. They just look for A Dog's Purpose on Facebook, and we have close to 100,000 fans talking about dogs, posting dog stories and dog pictures, and it's a really great community. It's not all about the book, A Dog's Purpose. It's mostly about just people, you know, celebrating our canine friends. They're welcome to come. If they want to nominate their dog for Dog of the Week, they can do so at adogspurpose.com. Adogspurpose.com is where I've got a website set up, where we do the same sort of thing as on the fan page on Facebook, but it's a little more structured, and there's a place where you can upload your dog's picture. And every week, the winner of adogspurpose.com Dog of the Week gets a free copy of A Dog's Purpose.
Oh, that's great. Bruce, thanks so much for being with us today. I love your writing.
Oh, thank you for having me.
All right, bye.
Bye-bye.